Hello, I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Health. Our topic today is an update on vaccinations for children and adults, including recent changes to the immunization schedules, safety information, and ways to increase vaccination rates. We'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting the program. We'd also like to thank GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, and Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics Incorporated for providing educational grants to make this program possible. Physicians and other healthcare professionals can earn free CME credit by registering online at discoveryhealthcme.com and taking the post-test. All the graphics and references from today's program will also be available online. It's easy to log on, take the post-test, and earn free credit for the program, so do it today. Now, we're fortunate to have a distinguished group of experts in the studio with us today to talk about the latest information regarding vaccines. Dr. Melinda Wharton, Acting Director, National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Calvin B. Johnson, Vice President and Chief Medical Officer, Temple University Health System, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Donald M. Poritz, Clinical Professor of Medicine, Georgetown University School of Medicine, Washington, D.C. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. During the program, we will discuss the importance of vaccination throughout one's life, recent changes to the child, adolescent, and adult immunization schedules, new safety data regarding vaccines, contraindications to the administration of specific vaccines, barriers to timely vaccination, and methods for maximizing vaccination coverage and ways to improve patients' and parents' comfort with vaccination. Now, vaccination is a familiar concept to all physicians and nearly all patients. Why do we need to talk about this today?
Well, there are new vaccines that are added. And as these new vaccines are added, the healthcare providers who deliver them to people need to understand them, know when to use them, what the indications are, and how to talk about the risks and benefits with parents. With new vaccines, there's always a period of time where coverage isn't very high, and as they're implemented, we do better, we can prevent more disease. And that's where we are with some of the new vaccines, is we need to do better in terms of coverage. For the childhood vaccines where we have high coverage, even for those, there are some children who haven't received those vaccines. And we do see disease in unvaccinated populations. So it's really important that healthcare providers understand the issues and are able to help their patients deal with them.
Vaccines are arguably one of the greatest public health achievements of our lifetime. In the last 100 years have been the main reason that the primary cause of death in this country has gone from being infectious diseases to now chronic diseases. But the fact remains that while vaccine coverage has increased over time, there still remain specific areas and pockets of unvaccinated people. And when we have that existing, that means that disease can get into those pockets and we can have outbreaks.
Indeed, medicine has done remarkably well in preventing certain diseases that are at one point the scourge of the world. I believe that the childhood vaccine schedules have been fairly well defined, although they keep being updated on a regular basis. But an increasing emphasis is now being made on adult vaccinations, and I think that will continue into the future.
You know, just 15 years ago, there were only 5 items on the childhood immunization schedule, and there wasn't even an official schedule for adults yet. Now, it's a much more complex schedule for children and adolescents, and there are new vaccines on the adult immunization schedule. Dr. Wharton, can you describe the process that's used to determine how the schedule is developed?
The Food and Drug Administration licenses vaccines based on both data supporting safety and effectiveness, as well as manufacturing issues and other factors involved in the ability to actually produce the vaccine. Once it's licensed, it will be considered by CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And the committee considers the burden of disease to be prevented, the safety and efficacy of the vaccine, the ability to implement the vaccine into the program, as well as the expected cost effectiveness. Is this a good investment to make? There's a similar process that medical specialty societies undertake using their own internal processes, but we try to coordinate it so we end up with immunization recommendations that are broadly consistent. And at that point, then, it really does become the standard of care.
And once it's been recommended and approved, state public health agencies, for example, tend to look at it from a policy perspective. Is this a vaccine that needs to be and should be mandated to truly drive coverage? Is it a vaccine that should be paid for by perhaps a public health vaccine coverage or healthcare coverage program that may exist in that state? So those are policy issues that get dealt with at the state level, but only take place after the vaccine has been licensed and recommended.
Can you remind our viewers about the recent changes? Let's start with childhood and adolescent immunization schedules.
There have been a number of changes since 2006 to the childhood immunization schedule. We now have two rotavirus vaccines licensed. One of them is a two-dose series, the other a three-dose series. Those are now routinely recommended and part of the schedule. We have resumed the full series of Hib vaccine. There was a shortage that began in December 2007, and we dropped the booster dose of Hib vaccine, but that booster dose was restored in the summer of 2009, and there is an additional Hib vaccine recently licensed in late 2009 that can be used for that booster dose. Influenza vaccine is now recommended for all children 6 months through 18 years of age. We now have a two-dose sequence for varicella vaccine, with all children recommended to receive two doses of vaccine. And hepatitis A vaccine has been added to the routine childhood schedule. As far as the adolescent schedule is concerned, we had previously focused on getting kids caught up on the vaccines that they might have missed in childhood, but there's now three vaccines that are recommended for use specifically in adolescents, and we recommend those to be routinely given at 11 to 12 years of age. Those vaccines are the tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis vaccine that provides, for the first time, pertussis vaccination for anybody over age 7. The human papillomavirus vaccine that's licensed to prevent cervical cancer and other sequelae of HPV. And the meningococcal conjugate vaccine, which is a vaccine that prevents invasive disease due to Neisseria meningitidis.
And what about adults? Are there new vaccinations for adults?
The original schedule in 2002 suggested that the TD, tetanus diphtheria vaccine, be given every 10 years. The influenza vaccine be given at age 50 and above. The pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine be given at age 65 and above, with one booster for certain patients who have immune abnormalities or predisposing other problems like chronic pulmonary disease. And the varicella and MMR for those who were susceptible. In 2004, some changes were made with the influenza vaccine temporarily changed to age 65 and over due to a shortage of vaccine at that time. In 2006, the Tdap replaced the one-dose tetanus diphtheria, and this included, of course, pertussis, which we have been seeing much more in adults recently, causing ongoing coughing, and not only that, the ability to transmit it to smaller children. And in 2006, the HPV vaccine was added for women up to the age of 26. In 2007, changes were made when the shingles vaccine, the zoster vaccine, was added for those individuals above age 60. But that is essentially where the adult situation is at the present time.